Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
In my never-ending quest to calm your nerves a little about the Chiefs' offensive line this week, we ask a big question. Can the Chiefs' pass protection be any worse against the Bucs than it was against the Niners last year in the Super Bowl? Patrick Mahomes moved and shook and scrambled and found a way. Rest easy, Chiefs fans. The CDC, once a respected government agency we knew little about, now has been exposed by COVID-19 as a political organization. Do you need more proof after all this? How about this? The CDC officially has Super Bowl guidelines that strongly recommend you don't cheer while you watch the game. We are not kidding. You got to hear this. A Patrick Mahomes rookie card sells at auction for a crazy number. A local TV sports reporter thinks a viewer doesn't like her hair because she's not white. And the Bucs can't shoot off their cannon at Sunday's game. You know, the one in the pirate ship in the end zone? Man, we cover all kinds of stuff here. In basketball, KU destroys K-State. It could be a great sign for KU, but this probably says a lot more about K-State's futility right now than anything else. Meanwhile, the Missouri Tigers are prepping for Kentucky as a 5-point favorite. Mizzou has to find a way to fix its defensive problems. Ron DeSantis is the Florida governor. He's actually trying to do something to keep big tech from running our elections. I like this guy a lot. And the director of Border Protection makes a dire public statement just 2 weeks into the Biden presidency. You got to hear it. On KKHI, brought to you by Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building automation systems. It'll save you thousands off your utilities. Whether you have an office building, a school, a church, doesn't matter. Make your building great again with Elite Automation. They specialize in retrofitting your HVAC control system for maximum comfort and savings. What's your building costing you? They can save you money. I promise they can. They're really great at what they do. Mention KKHI and Elite's going to provide 12 months cloud hosting absolutely free. The easy way to get in touch is go to eliteautomate.com or call 913-766-2188. They also offer a service at Elite Energy where there is no fee to you. There is no cost at all to you. They just come and consult with your building and the way you do things. And if they give you advice and help you set up a system that saves you money without buying anything, without buying any new equipment, without buying anything from them, they get a percentage of what you save. There is no cost and no obligation by you. That's pretty cool. EliteAutomate.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. I took Mrs. Keatsman. You know, Jessica Keatsman has issues too. Her biggest issue is she's married to me. But I took her and our furry little friend for a little ride yesterday. We had an appointment. It was about 15 miles away from our house. It was going to be a little bit of a jaunt. Some of it was side streets. Some of it was highway. And I was like, let's take this Sierra Denali that Mike sent over here to us to drive. She had not ridden in it yet. She loves sitting up high. I mean, she just loves it up on the road. I was really impressed with how much she loved the big truck. She had so much fun playing with all the different things that it does because I haven't learned them all. And so while we were driving, she wanted her seat heater on. She went all, oh, she just loved it. The seats are really comfortable. It's the Sierra Denali, and you can get it at Roberts Robinson. It's the best luxury truck in America. I don't think it's close. Roberts Robinson makes it easy for you if you'd like to get in one to shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com or visit the dealership. They got great, friendly folks there. And Mike's made a promise to me that anybody that walks in will be treated better there than they've ever been treated anywhere in the automobile industry. GMC, we are professional grade. Roberts Robinson is the official automotive partner of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Back9development.com. Check out the website. See all kinds of great custom homes. You want to dream a little bit? Or the Solheim at Grandmere. This is a really nice development project on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Perfect for your college kids or as an investment property. They're upscale. Second home, they're taking commitments right now. This is a licensed general contractor specializing in custom building. So you know what you're going to get from a custom builder when they're custom designing and building their own condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. It's a really neat project. Go to the website and check it out. Back9development.com. That's the numeral 9. Back9development.com. You've got a couple minutes to kill on the internet. Seriously, go check this company out. They'll build your home in Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, Manhattan, anywhere on the I-70 corridor. One of the greatest builders here in the Midwest is Back9 Development, and they'd love to work with you. So call TJ at Back9, 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161 for more information about Back9 Development's Solheim at Grandmere or information about a custom build or a custom deal for your company as well. All kinds of great projects from back9development.com. Man, I got a million things to talk about on this podcast. Let's not waste any more time. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Still getting a lot of feedback from folks about the Chiefs' offensive line as they head into Super Bowl 55 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we have tried very hard this week leading up to the Super Bowl. I kind of see it as my mission maybe to pick you up a little bit on this. I know a lot of you are down on the patchwork offensive line and Eric Fisher being out. And I keep trying to remind everybody that it is the quarterback that makes the difference, not the line. And it falls on deaf ears for a lot of people that learn football a certain way, and I get that. I understand that, and I would love it if the Chiefs had the best offensive line in football. But I would not like that at the expense of having a defensive front that can rush the passer, or a safety like Tyrann Mathieu that can change the game, or receivers like Hill and a tight end like Kelce that are difference makers, and certainly not at the expense of having a quarterback different than Patrick Mahomes. So you pick and you choose. It is a salary cap era. You get to spend so much on your football team, and the Chiefs have decided offensive line is not where it is. And I went back and I looked at some footage from the San Francisco game last year in the Super Bowl because I just had remembered that Mahomes was under duress in that game frequently. And we've seen a lot of games where he's under duress, where there's a lot of pressure. And some of the things the Chiefs do, we know, you can call it trickeration or whatever, but this run-pass option, they fake the run. Sometimes they fake reverses and then throw the ball because it will freeze the linebackers into a run position. It will freeze the pass rush a little bit into a run position. Andy Reid is very good at loading up the playbook with plays like this. And I think we're going to see a ton of those on Sunday. And I went back and looked at some of the highlights, just the highlights. These were just mostly, I mean, you could just Google Patrick Mahomes highlights from Super Bowl 54. And you go back and you see a lot of the passes that he completed, including Wasp, where he famously asked, "Do I have enough time for the play?" And the reason he asked if he had enough time to throw that deep ball is because he was under duress the entire game and he knew it. And he'd been scrambling around. And I'm watching those highlights and I'm looking at what he did last year. And there's also some nice, what they call sprint passes, where he takes the snap and starts running left or right. And at that point, I guess he has the option to run it. That's only if the play isn't there. But they only run these once or twice a game. But when Mahomes sprints out of the pocket immediately, it's almost always a completion. I can't find incomplete passes on those or negative plays, because a couple times he's run out of the sprint pass, he's just run the ball to the sideline for a 3 or 4 yard gain and out of bounds, which certainly doesn't hurt you. A lot of times these are first down plays, first and 10. They're little short passes. There was one in the Buffalo game 2 weeks ago where he rolled straight to his right, threw it to Tyreek Hill, and it looked like it was going to be about a 3 or 4 yard gain or a 5 yard gain for Tyreek Hill, and he turned the corner, went down the sideline. I think he got down to about the 10-yard line or inside. It was maybe a 20, 25-yard gain. It was a terrific little play. They're going to do a lot of that against Tampa. There's going to be a lot of the movement of Patrick Mahomes in the pocket to create space and buy himself some time against this pass rush. And as I'm watching this stuff against San Francisco, it occurred to me, you can't do any worse in pass protection than the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl last year, and they won. I actually think San Francisco's pass rush a year ago was better and more difficult for the Chiefs to contain than Tampa will be on Sunday, even with the patchwork offensive line. And Andy coached his way around it. Remember, the Chiefs famously got behind double digits in that game and had to find their way back, and they did. And we walked away and I credited Patrick Mahomes and said, well, you know, Andy Reid just said, go win the game, Patrick. And he did, but you still had to call the plays, and the plays that he started calling were plays that didn't really call for pass protection. They called for Mahomes to just go play street ball. Get out of the pocket, run, step up, step back. And in fact, the Wasp play, the famous Wasp play, if you look at that, that was the deepest drop Mahomes had the entire game. He got the snap and just went back, 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 back. And thought, well, I'm going to buy my arm's good enough. I'm just going to buy myself some more time. You know, we never think about it like that. Mahomes going 5 yards farther back is still several steps for a defensive lineman to get to him. Think about how much time that buys you to get the ball 15 yards downfield or farther. Mahomes certainly has the arm for it, and the distance that he throws the ball doesn't seem to matter. So there's about a million things you can do with Patrick Mahomes that you can't do with other quarterbacks if you don't have the time to throw. And I just want to remind everybody, because I don't know that I would have, I was just looking at stuff last night on my tablet, I don't know that I would have done much on the podcast about this if I hadn't gone back and looked at those highlights. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think San Francisco's pass rush last year was more difficult to contain than what Tampa is going to bring on Sunday. I could be wrong. Could absolutely be wrong. Maybe Remmers just gets worked over and JPP gets 3 sacks in this game and Mahomes gets sacked 6 times. It's 100% in play. But I've just seen the Chiefs too many times with this quarterback adjust against a team with a really good pass rush and find the proper plays. And a lot of times they've done that in game because they've gone into the game thinking, we'll be fine. We have Eric Fisher. We'll be fine. He'll handle Bosa over there. He's going to be fine. He'll handle Bosa. Everything will be good. Well, he didn't handle Bosa in the Super Bowl last year. He got worked over pretty good. And as the game went on, Andy Reid adjusted the game plan and started running the plays where you don't need a whole lot of offensive line protection. I think they start the game this way. I think now Andy Reid looks at this game and goes, okay, we're going to go on the attack from the beginning. We're not going to get our quarterback touched early. Our passing plays are going to be these RPOs and sprint passes. We're going to move him out of the pocket, and that's the way we're going to start this game. And let's see what they do to adjust to us. I think it'll be fascinating to watch, and I just think it's an important point that it's arguable. You may not agree with it, but I think San Francisco had a better pass rush last year than the Bucs have this year, and it can't play out a whole lot worse than it did against the Niners. Mahomes was just under duress the entire game last year. I mean, he just, as much pressure as he's ever had in a game, and the Chiefs were able to win that game. So I love that about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' chances in this Super Bowl. We've got some guidelines from the CDC. I was asked about this on Pete Mundo's show on KCMO. I was on Wednesday morning, on Mundo in the morning, and he asked me about the CDC guidelines. I'd seen this a few days ago and forgotten about it. I'm glad he brought it back up. The CDC, of course, is brilliant. They put out all these guidelines on how to keep from getting COVID, although nothing they've said and nothing we do has worked. In fact, nothing anyone has done in any country has worked other than just being hermits, locking down, ending your life, staying in your house, stay there with your spouse. If the two of you live together, don't ever leave. But be careful with those grocery deliveries. Have them delivered to your door. Well, it's just not the reality for most people. We need the world to keep functioning. Transportation is vital. Shipments of goods are vital to human civilization all over the world, so it's just not realistic. So stopping this thing was never really an option. We just can try to mitigate it. Maybe what we did was we did too good a job, and it's dragged out longer than it should have, and we should have herd immunity by now. You can make that argument. But the CDC is always putting out guidelines like they know, and we've got all these government agencies that we used to think of completely differently than we do now. We hear them say things now, and we don't really believe them. We think they're throwing darts at a board, and they are. Let's be honest, they are. When something new comes along, all you can do is say reasonable things like, wash your hands, stay away from other people, wear a mask if you can. Those are all reasonable things to say about, we don't understand this virus. We don't know what to do. These are reasonable. But to try to convince people that if you do, this is the difference between the left and the right. People on the left say, if we would all just follow the guidelines, the virus would be over. That is so wrong. That's the same thinking that leads them to believe the government can fix everything, that government's the end-all, be-all. If you are wired that way, if you're a liberal and you believe the government should run everything and the world would be a better place if there's just laws and guidelines to tell people what they should be, we're going to put laws in that say you can't be a racist, you can't be a sexist, you can't be this, you have to do this, you can't live with white privilege, you have to pay more taxes if you make more money. I mean, every possible guideline in the world, they believe the government should regulate on that upon people, and the world would be a better place. I don't subscribe to that. I think the government is pretty much jacked up in its current form, and I think it's worse than it's ever been in my lifetime because it's even more polarized between the politicians and the parties than it's ever been because the people are more polarized on these things, and the Democrats brought that on. Make no mistake about it. This all started under Barack Obama. History will show that the division in America, the divisiveness, started under Obama. That's a fact. Trump doesn't happen if Obama didn't happen. And what's going on now with these communists that are trying to do what they're doing, you know, building walls and having troops around the Capitol, but not having troops or walls on the border. I don't even know how to explain what that is other than, you know, elitist totalitarianists. That's what it is. It never happens if Barack Obama's not elected. There was this. Hey, did the Democrats not like George W. Bush? Correct, they did not. The country was completely unified for years after 9/11 under George Bush. And he had pretty good approval ratings, and you could be a Democrat, and you could say you didn't like him because, you know, he was a Republican president or whatever. There was nothing to not like about the man. He had all the integrity in the world. I mean, everything possible about George W. Bush was, you know, for other people. Very giving man. He wasn't conservative enough for me, but that's just me. Probably not conservative enough for you. That's a complaint from the right, not from the left. The left hated on him. They said mean things. But in the end, they didn't really mean it. It was the same thing with McCain. It was just politics. The hate is there now. The hate is really there. It's everywhere. And so these are the same types of people that believe when the CDC says something, you should just believe it, that these people are smarter than all of us, that they have science. Follow the science. We actually should have followed the science, which means following to me is you follow something for a while and then you make a decision whether you're following the right thing and doing the right thing. And we learned very quickly that the things that they were telling us were not working, they were not helping, and they are so inconsistent from month to month on what they say regarding COVID-19, who knows what to believe. So I kind of laugh at the CDC now. I shouldn't. I know there's pros there. There's people that are really smart and work really hard. The problem is every day they walk into work at the CDC, they walk through those doors as a liberal. And you can't check that at the door. They just won't. They just won't. Liberals will never check their liberalism. If they go in and say, we don't know much science on this yet. Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay away from each other the best you can. And we'll see what happens, whatever. No. They put it out that we're scientists. We're doctors. We can end this. If you just listen to us, COVID will be over, which created a narrative for liberals and Democrats to say, we wouldn't have COVID right now if it wasn't for Trump's people. If you didn't have all these conservatives out there ignoring mask mandates or living their lives normally, even with masks, as I've done, I've not ever violated a mask mandate anywhere. I've wore a mask everywhere I've gone. I've done everything they say to do. But I've not locked down, and I got COVID, and it was fine, and I kind of knew that was the case. I'll be honest with you. In my life, with my family, I've been smarter about COVID than the CDC, than Dr. Fauci, than Dr. Birx, than any of my children who think they're smarter than me. I was right from the beginning. Don't end your life over this. It's not the end of the world if you get it. We got to watch out for grandma, but the rest of us are healthy. Follow what everybody's, the social protocols. We've done that, although I don't like it. And since we've had COVID, I'm not sure why I have to do it, but I do it. It's just a signal now that I'm all in, I'm trying, I'm doing what they're telling us to do. That's all it is when I do it, because I believe or I'm told I can't give COVID to anybody at this point. So there you have it. But the CDC now puts out some guidelines around the big game. The CDC, first of all, they don't want you to gather in large groups. They can't stop you. They're saying, just don't. Just stay home and watch with your family. That's what they say. It's Super Bowl. Stay home and watch with your family. Don't have any fun. Screw that. I'm going to a watch party with some friends, and it's going to be a great time. I'm pretty sure each of us has already had COVID. What I really want to know about COVID is how many people have had it. And I don't know how we could possibly calculate that, because most of the people that I know that have had it didn't get tested. They knew they were around somebody and then they had all the symptoms and they were sick for a couple of days and couldn't taste anything and maybe had a fever for 24 hours and they know they had COVID. In the beginning, there were a lot of people saying, you know what, I think I might have had this in December of 19 and didn't know it. Or I was in January, I was traveling and I didn't feel well. No. What were your symptoms? Well, it was kind of like the flu or a cold. No, for most people with symptoms, if you had COVID, you know it. It's different than anything you've had. You can't taste. You can't smell. It's a weird deal. It is different. And the difference to me between that and when I've been flu-like, and I don't know if I've ever had the flu, but I've had sinus infections before and different things that, that knock you out for a few days. The difference between this one was I would rest. I'd sleep. I'd sleep well all night. I'd sleep all night, and I'd get up, and I'd be gangbusters. I did the podcast every day. I'd feel great until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'd want to take a nap. I mean, it sucked that I didn't taste anything for a couple days. And when I would lay down and take the naps in the afternoon, I'd get under a blanket, and I'd either get the chills or be cold and put a blanket over me. And then I would, then my temperature would go up. It lasted for about 2 days that I had those symptoms. We obviously locked down for the full 2 weeks and didn't go anywhere except for we went for walks every day. But it was different than most things that you had. So I think most people that have had it would know that. But the CDC is telling us, since we're going in a group or anybody that's gathering this weekend for the Super Bowl in a group, do not yell during the game. Do not cheer during the game. This is oh so dangerous. If you're yelling, oh my goodness, those droplets could fly a lot farther than if you're just talking to somebody. And we're not sure 6 feet is far enough to be apart if you're yelling. Please clap your hands and stomp your feet at your watch parties. Do not yell. Keep your voice down and stay 6 feet apart from everyone watching the football game. The CDC. I can't be the only one. Do we not all look at these agencies differently than we used to? We used to say, the CDC reports such, and we go, oh, that's gospel. I mean, how much credibility have they lost? I mean, not all of it, certainly, but much of it. It's scary to think that there are pockets of our federal government and our agencies that are so incompetent and so bad. Are we prepared for something really bad in this country? I mean, this was bad, but it wasn't really bad. I mean, what if something really bad happens? What if Russia decides they want to start lobbing missiles at us? What if China wants to completely and economically cut us off from the rest of the world? Are we ready for any of this? Or do we just have incompetent liberals in every single agency and department of our government that doesn't really care about American greatness or American exceptionalism? In fact, they don't like it. They don't want to be that. And they want anybody that uses the word American greatness or American exceptionalism to be labeled as somebody who uses hate speech. I mean, it's nuts, folks. So be careful at your watch party. Don't yell, don't cheer. Stomp your feet and clap your hands this week. Woohoo! A couple of fun little Super Bowl side notes this week. The pirate ship that they have in Tampa at their stadium, which I have been on. Not on the water. I've been on the pirate ship in the end zone. It's fun. It's a neat stadium. It's a great place to go when the Chiefs play in the regular season because the weather's spectacular. You can stay at the beach. You can go to a football game. Tampa's a cool place. There will be no cannon fire from the pirate ship during the Super Bowl. That is not allowed for the Buccaneers. It's a pretty loud, crazy thing that they do. It's louder than like college cannons. It's a big deal. And they will not be allowed to fire that pirate ship cannon at this game on Sunday. I like that. So no real home field advantage for the Tampa Bay Bucs. They don't do it like that. And they play it right down the middle, 50-50 with the PA announcements and all that stuff. The announcer, everything that goes on during a game at a Super Bowl is completely neutral. And that's the way this will be, and I like that. This is shocking, if you haven't seen this story. Patrick Mahomes has a rookie card from four years ago. Wow, this is crazy. They only made 5 of them. It involves a piece of a patch. I'm not a card expert anymore. When I was a kid, I was. I collected baseball cards like crazy. I loved them. This Patrick Mahomes rookie card, there were 5 of them made. There was an auction last week. And the person who held it put it up for auction. And it sold at auction for $861,000. Patrick Mahomes rookie card, $861,000 at an auction. The same auction company has a Michael Jordan rookie card at $738,000. Patrick Mahomes' rookie card is already $100,000 more than Michael Jordan's. That's insane. Are you kidding me? And, of course, his career, for this to be a good investment, that's somebody banking on the fact that Mahomes is going to win a whole bunch of Super Bowls. and be the greatest ever. Now, I don't know if all five are still around, all five of those rookie cards. I don't know that. It didn't say where the other four are. That's amazing. He has not been playing very long for a rookie card to be worth $861,000. Just nuts. Breland Moore is a reporter for KCTV5, a sports reporter. She's apparently, and I didn't know, because I don't really think about these things until I saw her on Twitter in the last couple of days, biracial. So Breland Moore is covering the Chiefs, and they do all kinds of special programming. There's really good TV ratings around this stuff, and I think she does a great job. I think she's, I just got to be a little bit careful about how I say all this. First of all, she does a really nice job. She very clearly knows sports and knows football. She has a wonderful personality. She presents well. Her facts are good. All of that. Everything you would want, she does it all. She's young and she's attractive and all of these things. So it's just very good for her, right? She apparently gets from time to time, and to be honest, I've watched her and I've thought this too. She gets from time to time some feedback from viewers that her hair doesn't look very good. And I've seen plenty of times where I've thought that too. I thought, well, this young lady has it all. She's got a beautiful smile, a great presentation. She's a fine broadcaster. Her content is produced well. She knows what she's talking about. And I've maybe mentioned to my wife, I haven't said it to anybody else. It's not something because I know how TV works. It's very judgmental to say, well, your tie is ugly, or your hair is bad, or that blouse you're wearing is wrong, or improper for the story you're covering. But this is what you get in television. And I was in television for 14 years, so I know. And I've been on TV pretty much my whole life, in one fashion or another, my adult life, not my entire life, my adult life. So she goes to Twitter, and she's upset that people are making fun of her hair, and she tweets back and says, I'm not going to apologize for this. I'm biracial, and the way my hair is the natural way. And many of us out here who have different race than you and don't feel like we're represented enough in the media or whatever are deciding as our generation that we're not going to alter the way we look to fit some social norm. Her hair is naturally curly. I don't know what she puts on it or what she does, but it always looks wet. And it's fine. You get used to it, whatever. But she's saying in a Twitter exchange that these are microaggressions from people. Racist microaggressions. And I tweeted back to her. I quoted the tweet and tweeted back in a very friendly way. In fact, I was very cautious to write the tweet in an exact way that I could have been a liberal. Okay, this is pretty important. I wrote this like I could be a liberal or I could be a conservative. You can't tell from my comment, okay? So here's what I wrote back to her where she said she's confident and comfortable with her look. They're thinly veiled microaggressions and they're on a regular basis. I know other journalists of color and they get the same thing. I tweeted back, just so you know, everyone in TV is subjected to criticism about how they look, speak, and what they wear, even those with white privilege. Ask the white women in your newsroom. You're doing great. Forget the rest of it. That's what I tweeted to her. She is doing great. Forget this stuff. Certainly don't run around thinking it's racist. There is never, I'm going to tell you right now, there has never, ever been a female television reporter that has not been told by some, a male, forget that. I'm totally wrong. A male or female television newscaster, reporter, or whatever, that at some point in their career were not criticized by how they looked, how they spoke, or what they wore. That has never existed. That person has never walked the face of the earth in the United States of America. That's not happened. Everyone that's ever been on television has received criticism. Now, some people maybe were in radio their whole life. Maybe that's different. You still get complaints about your work, but they wouldn't necessarily complain about how you look or what you're wearing. I got it all the time in TV. People hated my glasses. I wore glasses, or before I had LASIK, I wore glasses all the time. Like, your glasses are distracting. You don't know how to tie a tie. You know, you need to cut your hair. All the time. I mean, all the time. In those days, it would come in the form of letters to Channel 4. And it would be big bunches of letters. It was a totally different era. You know those big plastic baskets of mail? There'd be two or three of those a day coming into Channel 4, most of them going to Phil Witt or Cynthia Smith or Dan Henry or Frank Bowl or somebody like that. But I'd get them too. And it was normally, and you could tell, it was normally like little old ladies that were like, you're such a fine looking young man, but you got to help yourself a little more. You got to get rid of those glasses, or you got to wear different color ties, or, you know, whatever it was. It was just some nitpicky little thing. The point is, that's what viewers and listeners do. Now, as I moved into radio and became an opinion host, critical of so many things, people really don't like that at all. Some love it. Some just want to hear what's going on. They want to hear the unfiltered truth, and they want to hear strong opinion. You may or may not agree with it. Mostly conservatives can handle this stuff. We like it. We're used to the truth. We like the truth. We don't need everything to be... See, like, liberals are like the worst college fans ever. Like, your college team can do no wrong. For a certain group of college fans, your college team can just do no wrong. It's all cheer, cheer, cheer. Everything's good. Doesn't matter. We got a couple players arrested, and this guy got kicked off. And, well, he had a problem with a girl. And it doesn't matter. They're all great. They're all great until they don't play for the alma mater, right? So that's always been my comparison. Liberals are like that. You know, everything they want to do is great, and everything else they hate. I think we're more open to criticism, to honesty, to truth, to fairness. I've always been that way. And I've always felt I can't look at that and say, that's not a conservative or a liberal thing, because I was always the outlier in the industry I was in. I was like, well, these people are all following, they're all groupthink over here. These people are all following the same way of thinking. And I was questioning everything. And I didn't know it. I didn't know that as a curious questioner of facts and truth, I didn't know that that was a conservative trait, but it absolutely is a conservative trait. It's a very conservative trait. It's a very American trait, in my opinion, and I will never apologize for it. I got a lot of haters because of it, a lot of detractors, a lot of people want to see us fail, a lot of people like that, and I'm cool with that. I've come to grips with all of that. I've known that for a long time, and I don't mind being a loner or an outsider or whatever it may be in the Kansas City media. I don't mind that. I don't mind. But Breland Moore and young reporters like her that are not, I don't even know how to say, I don't know whether it's biracial, I don't know what the race is. It doesn't matter. We all have something in us. So I think what we have now is it's whites and non-whites. Okay? So non-whites are the rest of everyone, and then you have whites. That seems to me that's what the way they want to frame this thing. My point is there ain't a white television reporter in this country that hasn't heard from somebody that they don't look right, they don't speak right, or they don't wear their clothes right. We've all heard it, Breland. Everybody's heard it in our business. You're young. You're starting out. If somebody taught you at a young age that any criticism that comes your way is because you're biracial, they taught you wrong. They taught you wrong. And I read the tweet of the person who sent it to you. There was nothing racial about it. It was no different than anything anybody would send to a white reporter. None. Zero. So this is going to be really important for you to learn going forward. And a lot of liberals and a lot of people in the media need to learn this. And maybe it just takes more white people stepping out, and maybe somebody in the Channel 5 newsroom should step up and say, hey, wait a second, I've been doing this for 25 years. Let me tell you some of the things that have been said to me. And I'm white. It comes with the job, not the race. This is the problem with looking at everything in this country through the prism of race. It has nothing to do with your race. It's your job. You picked an industry to be in the public eye where people are going to look at everything that you do and could be critical of that. They may not like what you're wearing. Hey, they may send you something else. You probably have heard this too, Breland, haven't you? Whew. Damn, girl, you're smoking hot. Have you heard that from somebody? Are they saying that because of your race? When they compliment you and say you have a beautiful, beautiful smile, is that a microaggression? Are they telling you it's because of your race? You got to stop looking at things like this, folks. You just have to. Open your eyes to the world. Everybody in your business is getting that. That one, I don't know why it bothered me as much when I saw it. I wish I could talk to some of these young people and get in front of them in a consulting type form with media people, not to change their politics, but to change their way of thinking or the way they were raised or what they were taught in college. That is not the way your viewers are thinking. This person, and I think it was a man, he couldn't have been more complimentary about the stories you do and the way you work and how pretty you are and all of these things, and said, but you know, that hair is a little distracting. That's not a race thing. If he tells you your smile's beautiful and you're gorgeous, is it because you're race? No, no. Then you're going to say, this dude's a creeper in the Me Too era. I mean, you can't just keep doing it. It's just, ugh. People aren't out to get you. It's okay. College basketball, KU beats K-State badly. Badly. 74-51 the final. This was easy. You put Marcus Garrett on Nigel Pack, and K-State's already terrible offense is dreadful. And KU was good, but they didn't have to be really great in this game. That is four straight games that K-State has lost by 20-plus points in the Big 12. We believe that's a record. So we're talking about an epically, historically bad Kansas State team. It makes it very difficult to judge whether Kansas is making progress or not. I thought after watching them play TCU, they were making progress defensively. Then Tennessee unloaded on Kansas. And last night, you can't judge what they did against K-State because they're inept offensively. KU's at West Virginia. Then they have Oklahoma State. After that, this is great. They get Iowa State, and K-State in three straight games. They're going to roll those three opponents. So if they can find a 1-1 at West Virginia and Oklahoma State, go 1-1. I think Oklahoma State will play with Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. I think it'll be a game, and we know the West Virginia game will be a game. So I think 1-1 in the next two would be fine. Then you're going to win three in a row after that before playing a couple better teams at the finish. But I think it's really hard to tell if Kansas is getting better by playing K-State last night. I can't really go there. I know a lot of people looked at it and said, yeah, maybe the defense made a really nice step. Bruce Weber is now 4-24 in his last 28 conference games. There is no offense. KU is not a great team, and K-State was not competitive with them at all. Bruce Weber's on the hot seat. I didn't think it was coming, but he is. And this was the kind of team that with these young players, you have to be playing better in February than you were early on, and there doesn't seem to be any progression whatsoever with the Kansas State basketball team. So short of that, I think he's on the hot seat. I think this is a real thing to watch out for. Missouri's hosting Kentucky on Wednesday night. Missouri and Kentucky were picked 2nd and 10th in the SEC, which is about where they are right now, right? Except they've got them in reverse. Kentucky's only 4-4 in the league. Missouri's a 5-point favorite in this game, coming off a couple of games where Missouri's defense has just disappeared. I mean, completely and utterly disappeared. They gave up 100 points to TCU. The game is overtime, but TCU? No, not good. So Missouri's defense, I don't know what's going on there. Kentucky's had a couple of good wins recently, including Florida. So they're playing better. They were really bad early, but they're 4-4 in the leagues. So they're playing better. They're under 500. I don't know how Kentucky gets into the NCAA tournament. We'll see how it plays out. It's a weird year, but I mean, I don't expect Missouri to necessarily lead this game throughout and dominate Kentucky. I love the fact that Vegas has them as a 5-point favorite, but if you look at how they're playing right now, Missouri isn't defending at all. Kentucky is playing better. They just got to the wire with Alabama, which is the best team in the league, and had a chance to win and didn't. I think this is a big ball game tonight for Missouri. It doesn't look like it because of Kentucky's record and all those things, but it is still Kentucky. And to me, if Kentucky is ascending, you know what kind of talent they recruit. As I was talking about with K-State, a young Kentucky team by February should be getting better. And it looks like they are. They're still not great and still not good. They didn't win the Alabama game. They just played them close. But they beat Florida. Florida's a good team. Beat Florida. So they're capable. They're certainly a capable basketball team. And Kentucky's capable of winning this game tonight. I'm just a little surprised to see Missouri as a 5-point favorite. They're not a 1-point favorite or a 2-point favorite, which says Vegas thinks, we just think they're going to find a way to win the game. 5-point favorite means if you're betting on basketball, we expect this team to have a double-digit lead tonight, maybe for a while in this game, to lead by 10 to 13 points. And if you're going to cover 5, you can be up, 12 with 2 minutes to go and win by 6 pretty easily and then cover the 5. To me, a 5-point line says we expect the favorite to be up double digits in this game, maybe for quite a bit of the game. So we'll see. Be a very interesting challenge for Missouri in a game that was delayed a day because of COVID issues. Missouri defense is what everybody will be watching in this one tonight against Kentucky. KKHI is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. Ask about Invisalign, the non-invasive and simpler way, safer and gentler way to give you the perfect smile. Invisalign is a big sponsor of the National Football League and the NFL Awards coming up on Saturday night. And there is nobody better anywhere in the Midwest to hook you up with Invisalign and get you the proper treatment that you need for a smile for a lifetime. Invisalign at Fry Orthodontics. Call 469-9191 for more information. That's 469-9191 at Fry Orthodontics. Your smile is just the start. Bstock.net. You know, I've been focusing all week on this big 85-inch Samsung they have for $17.99 delivered just in time for the big game, but they have every Samsung TV. The past few weeks, here have been some of their specials. 75-inch Samsung with smart remote, $7.99. 50-inch Class 7 Samsung, $269. And if you just got a smaller TV that's on the fritz, Samsung 43-inch, $219 at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Don't fall asleep on their computer products. They've got everything there. Apple, LG, Vizio, Dell, HP, Lenovo, everything you need electronics. There's a new way to buy electronics in Kansas City. It is bstock.net. They're an online company with an outlet store, brick and mortar. Walk in and save even more in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. And, of course, Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. We are getting close to Valentine's Day, guys. And this is just your heads up. Valentine's Day is the time you ought to be going to Joslyn's. Get something shiny for her, and you'll get a great item, great products, great service at a great price. Get a family-owned business. Joslyn's Jewelry, online at joslynsjewelry.com, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Every day I'm becoming a bigger fan of Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. Ron DeSantis has announced that, well, he's announced that they are putting before the legislature in Florida all kinds of restrictions and laws and legislations on big tech. He has referred to big tech as Big Brother, and they're going to introduce laws where there will be $100,000 a day fine for any big tech company that deplatforms any candidate running for office. So you'll be fined in Florida $100,000 per day for deplatforming any candidate. You will be mandatory. You'll disclose your algorithms of how this is working and what you're monitoring and who you're monitoring. We will make lawsuits at the state level possible by individuals, not just companies, for basically antitrust mistreatment. If you're a resident of Florida and you get deplatformed or kicked off Twitter or whatever, you can sue them in Florida. This is if they pass the law. They've not passed the laws yet. If a platform clearly through its algorithms is siding with one candidate over another, okay, this will be against the law, and they will be up to lawsuits. They will be subjected to lawsuits by the Attorney General of the state of Florida. The state of Florida will be able to sue Google, Twitter, Facebook, any of the offenders that we've just seen. So while there is no control of anything at the national level at this point for conservatives, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is stepping up in a big way saying, we're taking this to the legislature. We think we can get it passed. We think we can make it law in Florida, and we're going to pass our own laws and enforce our own laws here, and this isn't happening again. Ron DeSantis is going to run for president. Make no bones about it. If not in 4 years, in 8 years, he's going to run for president. He has one of the best COVID records in America, and he had an open state. He's done a really, really, really nice job in Florida, and he does a great job, like Trump did, in a nicer way, just shutting down reporters. He was asked about guidelines on social media about misinformation and hacking. Like if somebody hacks and information comes out, he's asked, you know, why don't you make it illegal that, you know, this stuff gets printed? And, you know, the reporters are like, you know, all this stuff, we have all these guidelines. And he just turned on the reporters and said, you're telling me if I get hacked and it's something negative, you're not going to print that about me? Of course you are. What they don't want is for conservatives to be able to print stuff like the New York Post about Hunter Biden. So they restricted all that. Twitter shut it down. Facebook shut it down. We know all about the censorship. We know all about what happened. And so his response to the reporters was this, quote, you can whiz on my leg, but don't tell me it's raining. Unquote. I mean, this guy knows how to spin a phrase, and he knows how to take care of reporters and put them in their place, and they need to be. They need to be. At every turn, conservatives need to put reporters in their place because it's almost like they don't know about it. You know, we do the Patron podcast with Danny, and I sit right here with him every week, twice a week, and we start talking about some of these issues, and I'm like, it's cats and dogs. It's apples and oranges. He's like, what are you talking about? The media is biased. I mean, it's like, what? I'm like, you don't see the difference in the way Trump is treated at the White House compared to Biden now. You don't see, oh, it's not that great. It's not that great. People quit over it. Like Jim Acosta left CNN. Well, he didn't leave CNN. He left the assignment because he knew how bad it was going to look for him to sit in there and just ask nice questions and not be a shark, a pit bull in a cesspool of reporters, a swamp, just going after Trump's throat every day. And Kayleigh McEnany or whoever they threw in there, Sean Spicer, any of them. That's what it was, and now it's not. And if you can't see that, then you need to look in the mirror and say, what am I paying attention to and what am I not? Ron DeSantis will point that out. I like this guy. I like him a lot. And he's got a bright future. Hopefully he's got enough personality. We'll see. I don't know how it's all going to shape out with the conservatives. But we're all looking for someone that is conservative, that will put the media in its place, that will be like Trump, that is not Trump. The closest thing right now of a politician to me is Ron DeSantis. The closest thing outside of politicians would be Joe Rogan or Dana White, who runs the UFC, somebody like that. Those are just like Trump. Joe Rogan and Dana White are Trump. They're the Trump of their age. Okay, Trump's an older guy, but they are Donald Trump in their own fields. Joe Rogan and Dana White, they are Donald Trump. They're the same guy. They're populists, especially Dana White, loves America, doesn't give a rip what anybody thinks about what he says. If Dana White runs, I'm going to tell you right now, if Dana White runs in the Republican primary in 4 years, he will win it. He will get the nomination of the Republican Party. There will be no stopping him. It'll be impossible. Absolutely impossible. He will get the nomination. He will beat every politician and every single person. This guy is a flag-waving, red, white, and blue. This government ain't telling me what to do. I'm going to keep running my business, and I don't want you in my business, and you stay out of this and that. And he's a badass. There's no other way to say it. And I don't know if he's 100% a Republican or conservative or whatever. He may have some left leanings that we learn about. It won't matter because the stuff that really matters to him really matters to Trump voters. He would win the nomination. I have no doubt that Dana White would win the nomination if he runs for the Republican candidacy. So pretty interesting. DeSantis, maybe a guy with an inside track because he's been in politics for so long. Mark Morgan is the director of border protection for the United States of America. And this Jen Psaki, who I think is going to be, by conservatives, maybe the most hated person there is, she's not good at what she does. She does the daily briefings at the White House, and she's like pompous and sometimes uninformed and exceedingly liberal and full of crap. It's amazing. Mark Morgan is the director of border protection, and he referred to Jen Psaki's news conference yesterday as just spin. She went out and said yesterday that Trump's actions, they were horrific actions at the border, that he caged up babies and kids and the whole thing. Everybody knows that Obama started the cages. Everybody, anybody willing to look at the facts knows this. Anyone on the left saying that it was Trump that did this is just lying, or they're misleading you, or they're uninformed, one or the other. Obama started the cages, if that's what you want to call them. So she goes out and starts going through this yesterday when she's asked about some of the things that are happening at the border. Mark Morgan does an interview, and he's asked about this and said, it's just spin. It's just not true what she's saying. We've treated these people beautifully. And then he went on to say, quote, about Joe Biden. In 2 weeks, he's decimated our ability to secure the border, unquote. We are 2 weeks into the Biden presidency, and the director of border protection has said our border is not secure anymore. It took 2 weeks. And they're pouring in, and they're waiting at the border, and they want amnesty, and they want to bring their children, and they want to legalize all of them, and they want to vote 70% Democrat, and it is a grand scheme to take over one-party rule in this country. It will be socialism, and it will not be democracy. It will be socialism. The government will rule everything, and that's that. You will comply or you will move elsewhere. And we're running out of options around the world of places to move where you have freedoms and liberties. So there you have it. Mark Morgan, a true patriot, a great American, the director of border protection, says it took 2 weeks and the border is no longer secure. I know, not ending on a happy note, but we started with all that fun football stuff. So there you go. We're going to drop another podcast later on Wednesday. We may do a couple a day here all week long. Trent Green will be my guest later this afternoon. I'll interview Trent Green. We'll drop that sometime this evening, get his thoughts on Super Bowl 55. I think the world of Trent Green is one of the finest people you'll ever meet. He is a tremendous football mind, and he's a really, really good guy. So we're going to talk some Chiefs Bucks with Trent Green. That'll be a later drop, the next drop coming up at Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, Super Bowl 55 week.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.